From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then listener, happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo expecting Indonesian athletes to achieve more medals every day. Chairman of MPR Zulkifli Hasan says Idul Adha inspires social justice. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. President Joko Widodo is expecting Indonesian athletes who compete in the 2018 Asian Games to achieve more medals, because the target is not small. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo in Bogor, West Java on Wednesday. The government is targeting Indonesia team into the top 10 in terms of medal achievement at Asian Games 2018. Antara News Agency reported that President Joko Widodo hopes that each sport of Indonesian contingent has a target of a medal at the Asian Games. He also hopes that Indonesian athletes and officials have to work hard to achieve maximum results in each match. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly of the Republic of Indonesia, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan said that Idul Adha holiday is an inspiration to glorify humanity while realizing social justice. The obedience of Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail to Allah's command was to glorify humanity. The results of the Qurban, which are shared with all others, are efforts to realize the social justice. This was affirmed by Chairman Zulkifli Hasan while attending Idul Adha prayer with Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta on Wednesday, as reported by Antara News Agency. Chairman Zulkifli Hasan perceived that Idul Adha is also an inspiration for the importance of personal devotion along with social goodness. On that occasion, he called for the community to pray for the Indonesian people who were affected by the disaster, especially in Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara. Ministry of Industry continues to speed up downstream sector of palm oil industry, CPO, to increase added value, exports and foreign exchange in a bid to encourage the growth of the national economy. Director General of Resilience and Development of International Industrial Access of the Ministry of Industry, Igusti Putu Suryawirawan, explained in Jakarta on Wednesday that he has tried to make palm oil and its derivatives be processed and sold abroad. But now, the product is being reviewed to avoid further problems. Moreover, the palm oil processing industry has been able to contribute significantly to Indonesia because it is the world's largest producer and exporter. Antara News Agency reported that the Ministry of Industry noted that Indonesia contributes 48% of the world's CPO production and controls 52% of the world's palm oil export market. Therefore, Indonesia has the opportunity to become the center of the global palm oil processing industry for food, non-food, and renewable fuels. Two ships of power plant from Turkey supply electricity with 155 megawatts of power to meet electricity demand in two provinces in Indonesia, namely North Sulawesi and Gorontalo. As reported by Antara News Agency, Governor of North Sulawesi, Only Dondo Kambe sat in Mandado on Thursday that the first ship, with a capacity of 120 megawatts, has been supplying electricity since 2016, and the second one has the capacity of 35 megawatts. He also remarked that the existence of the two power plants will encourage investment and increase economic growth. Governor Oli Dondo Kambe is expecting the investors not to be afraid to invest in North Sulawesi because electricity supply is sufficient to meet business needs. He further explained that easier mobility of ships would meet the need for additional electricity supply in an area that was short of electricity before. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, will provide budget assistance for the reconstruction of houses damaged by the earthquake in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The reconstruction will be prioritized for houses that have been severely damaged. Head of the BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, as quoted by the Republika Online on Wednesday, stated that the government has allocated stimulant assistance funds for damaged houses with the category of severe damage of 50 million rupiahs, moderately damaged 25 million rupiahs, and slightly damaged 10 million rupiahs. The communities will also get technical training assistance to build their houses, which are earthquake resistant, from Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing. A number of creative economic actors representing Indonesia in the exhibition of handicraft products New York Now in Manhattan, the United States of America, succeeded in establishing sales cooperation with various global companies. Indonesia brought in 17 economic players who exhibited distinctive Indonesian cultural products with a contemporary touch, as quoted by Kompas.com. A written statement from the Indonesian Consulate General in New York on Wednesday stated that the companies such as Bloomingdale's, Target, Walmart, and other global companies plan to cooperate with Indonesian craftsmen to present handicraft products in all their corporate networks in America and in the world. The exhibition of New York Now took place on 12 to 15 August. Besides attracting potential buyers from global companies, dozens of creative economic players from Indonesia also met directly with hundreds of potential buyers with diverse backgrounds, including interior designers, boutiques, retail stores, and hotel. Paragliding sports regained a gold medal of the 2018 Asian Games from the accuracy number of the men's individual landing. At the moment, the gold medal was won by the paragliding athlete Javro Megawanto. The gold medal gain was known after all athletes finished the 10th round in the individual men's landing accuracy number, which ended on Thursday. Antara News Agency reported that Indonesia's paragliding coach, Gendon Subandono, sat in Bogor, West Java on Thursday, that their paragliding team had managed to meet the target of Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports to present two gold medals. Previously on Wednesday, the Indonesian national paragliding team achieved one gold medal in the accuracy number of the men's individual landing and silver by the women's team. The team will still compete for the men's and women's team crossing numbers to be held on Friday. Meanwhile, the Indonesian wushu team had to win bronze medal in the men's sanda 70 kg after Puja Riyaya lost to Shan Wei Shi from China in the semi-final match, which took place at G Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta on Wednesday night. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Lombok Disaster, the Nation Disaster. Since the past earthquake, 6.4 Richter scale to 6.9 Richter scale on August 19th on Lombok Island and surrounding areas has caused more than 500 people killed, more than 400,000 people displaced, and more than 74,000 units of houses were damaged. The estimated loss would reach 7.7 trillion rupiah. Since the impact of the Lombok earthquake, many parties proposed that the situation has to be declared a national disaster. However, the government considers that this is not necessary to decide the Lombok disaster as a national disaster. Then a lot of people have questioned the government's policy. Regarding the polemic, head of the Information Data Center and Public Relations of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, explained the matter of determining national disaster. The determination must be based on five main variables: the number of victims, loss of property, damage to infrastructure and facilities, wide coverage of areas affected by disasters, and the socioeconomic impacts. Sutopo believes that the indicators are not enough. There are fundamental indicators that are difficult to measure: the condition of the assistance and function of regional government, whether it is collapsed or not. The 2004 Aceh tsunami was designated as national disaster at the time because the regional government, both provincial and district or city, including the central elements in Aceh, such as the Kodam and the regional police, was totally paralyzed. The government later declared the national disaster. The risk is that all tasks of the regional government are taken over by the central government, including the general government. With the assistance of national disaster status, the door is open as wide as possible for international humanitarian assistance by other countries and the international community. This is a consequence of the Geneva Convention. Now problems related to international assistance often arise because it involves political, economic, social, cultural, defense, and security matters. So there are consequences if the Indonesian government determines the national disaster status. Sutopo did, since 2004 Aceh tsunami until now, there has been no disaster in Indonesia which has been declared a national disaster. Because the Indonesian people have learned a lot from the experience of handling the 2004 Aceh tsunami. Indeed, disaster with the casualties are quite likely to be discouraged that the central government establishes a national disaster. Many parties may not understand the disaster management as a whole, including determining the status and the level of disaster. They assume that with national disaster status, there will be easy access to national resources. But the fact that is that even without national disaster status, the government has mobilized all national resources. A lot of personnel from central elements such as Indonesian Armed Forces, TNI, National Police, Polri, National SAR Agency or Basarnas, and related state ministries had been deployed on the hit locations. Huge logistical assistance from the government agencies and community has also been sent to Lombok. The Indonesian nation must be united. Disasters are humanitarian affairs. Let's get rid of differences in ideology, politics, religion, and others to help disaster victims. The Lombok community needs the help of all parties. National energy must be united to help the people of Lombok. Without status of national disaster, the Lombok disaster is also a disaster of Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on August 23, 1939, when Germany and Soviet Union signed an agreement not to attack each other. On August 23, 1939, Germany and Soviet Union agreed to make non-aggression treaty not to attack each other. The treaty was signed by foreign affairs minister of the two countries. This shocked the world because powerfully the two countries competed. After Nazi invaded Czechoslovakia, England affirmed its position to face invasion of Nazi. Prime Minister of Neville J. Chamberlain at the time also declared his concern that Poland was being threatened by invasion of Nazi. England felt obliged to assist Poland to avoid from Nazi. Thus, the only power which was considered to be able to counterbalance Germany was Soviet Union. Unfortunately, Hitler read this purpose and rushed to close Stalin until the non-aggression treaty between the two countries was formed. But Germany violated the treaty by launching Barbarossa operation on June 21, 1941 to invade Russia. The next plan was in 1945, when the Stalinist of People's Security Agency became the forerunner of Indonesia military. President Sukarno officially announced the Stalinist of People's Security Agency on August 23, 1945. The establishment of the People's Security Agency was alternation of result of the session of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence on August 19, 1945. Which before planning to establish National Army. The alteration was finally decided on August 22, 1945, not to establish National Army. The leaders at the time chose to take diplomatic approach in a bid to get recognition on the independence which was just proclaimed. Through the government declaration October 5, 1945, People's Security Agency was changed to be People's Security Army. And after experiencing several times alternation of name, finally it became Indonesian military. And the last event is that in 1949, Roundtable Conference began to take place in the Den Haag, Netherlands. Roundtable Conference was a meeting which was held in the Den Haag, the Netherlands from August 23 until November 2, 1949 between representatives of Republic of Indonesia, the Netherlands and Belgian Coms for federal overlap to represent some countries which were created by the Netherlands on Indonesian islands. The conference was a bright moment for Indonesian people to gain recognition of dignity from Netherlands in a bid to solve conflict between Indonesia and the Netherlands. Indonesia tried to become an independent country from invaders. The outcome of the conference was that the dignity from Dutch colonial government had to be handed over to Republic of Indonesia, it said Western Papua. Indonesia wanted all ex-regions of the East Indies to become Indonesian regions, while the Dutch wanted to make the Western Papua separated because of different ethnic. The conference was closed without concrete decision on it. Therefore, Prager II mentioned that the Western Papua was not part of the handing over and the problem would be solved within 1 year. Well, listener, that was Student History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about critical condition of Kalimantan orangutan's population. Population of Kalimantan orangutans is in critical condition and its number is substantially falling. This was conveyed by a researcher during the International Orangutan Day commemorated every August 19. Researcher Maria Voigt from Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology
in Germany on her written statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, 18 of August, said that based on the characteristics of orangutans' breeding history, it is impossible to achieve fast growth rate of orangutans' population, not even at zoo. Maria told from the comprehensive observation data, it is estimated that the population of Kalimantan orangutan fell 25-30% between 2005 and 2015. The finding discovered by a group of scientists led by Maria Voigt, consisting of 41 researchers, was already published on March 2018. The team found that half of the total orangutans in Kalimantan have been affected by the extractive activities of natural resources. Their number has decreased more than 100,000 for the past 16 years since 1999. Head of the West Kalimantan Natural Resources Conservation Agency, Adip Gunawan, confirmed that conservation is an activity that takes a lot of time and requires participation from all involved parties. He cited called for society to take part in the effort of natural resources conservation. Adip Gunawan said that orangutan, which is the biggest ape in Asia, has significant role for the conservation of habitat. Meanwhile, the West Kalimantan Natural Resources Conservation Agency held several activities in commemoration of the 2018 International Orangutan Day. The ranges of activities were carried out in collaboration with some working partners such as Titian Lestari Foundation, West Kalimantan Program of World Wild Fund, or WWF, Palung Foundation, and Planet Indonesia Foundation. The theme of the 2018 International Orangutan Day was West Kalimantan, the home of orangutans. Let's move together to save Kalimantan orangutans. The ranges of activities included coloring and drawing competition for kindergarten and elementary students and an action campaign along the area of Carfree Day and Ahmad Yani Street, the signing and collecting of testimony from public to support the conservation of orangutans were carried out at this campaign. There were also interaction and discussion with public as well as distribution of campaign's materials on orangutans such as pin, keychain, mug, tumbler, t-shirt, and fact sheet at the event. Furthermore, the commemoration of the 2018 International Orangutan Day was also enlivened by offline campaign in the form of movie screening in partnership with a hotel in Pontianak, banner installation, the 2D International Orangutan Day photo booth, and distribution of campaign's materials. The campaign also included movie screening on Videotron at the Dikolis Park, supported by Pontianak government. The activities were held on August 18-19, 2018. On the occasion, the person in charge of the event from Titian Lestari Foundation, Rangga Irawan, affirmed that the population of orangutans has degraded due to the bigger threat toward these protected spaces. This condition makes orangutan stages rise from endangered to critically endangered. According to Rangga, the momentum of the International Orangutan Day is an opportunity for every stakeholders to move together in a bid to accomplish the same vision, namely the protection and conservation of orangutan. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. President Joko Widodo is expecting Indonesian athletes to compete in the 2018 Asian Games to achieve more medals. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly of the Republic of Indonesia, MPR Julkifli Hasan, said that Idul Adha holiday is an inspiration to glorify humanity while realizing social justice. Ministry of Industry continues to speed up downstream sector of palm oil industry CPO to increase added value, exports and foreign exchange in a bid to encourage the growth of the national economy. Two ships of power plant from Turkey supply electricity with 155 megawatts of power to meet electricity demand in two provinces in Indonesia, namely North Sulawesi and Gorontalo. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, will provide budget assistance for the reconstruction of houses damaged by the earthquake in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. A number of creative economic actors representing Indonesia in the exhibition of handicraft products New York Now in Manhattan, United States of America, succeeded in establishing sales cooperation with various global companies. Paragliding sports regained a gold medal of the 2018 Asian Games from the accuracy number of the men's individual landing. At the moment, the gold medal was won by the paragliding athlete Jampro Megawanto. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Rato Jaro Dance. Stay tuned. Asian Games 2018, the biggest sport event in Asia, was officially opened in August 18, 2018. The opening of the Asian Games 2018 involved 3,600 dancers, 18 singers, and a stage setting with mountains and waterfalls in the middle of the field took place majestically and festively. The opening of the four-yearly sport feast began with President Joko Widodo's stunning action. He rode a motorcycle into the Bung Karno main stadium. The excitement continued with the traditional Acehnese Rato Jaro dance performance, which managed to amaze thousands of spectators at the stadium. There were 1,600 dancers consisting of 18 high school students throughout Jakarta municipalities involved in this dance performance. The dance was very stunning since it displayed different formations such as the triangle and the Indonesian red-white flag. Rato Jaro Dance is a creative dance originating from Nangkru Aceh Darussalam province. Created by Dek Gam, an Acehnese artist who traveled to Jakarta. The dance began to develop in 2001 in Jakarta. As time goes by, the Rato Jaro dance developed into a dance that was included in favorite extracurricular subjects of the students in Jakarta. Then from 2002 to 2003, the festival began to be held once a year in Jakarta. Since 2005 to 2006, there were more and more art festivals or parades, so that the dance was increasingly contested and staged. Rato Jaro comes from the word Rato means zikir or remembrance, and Jaro means hand. Both words mean to do zikir or sing with hands movement. Rato Jaro developed in Jakarta and played by girls. The number of players in Rato Jaro is even at least 10 people. Rato Jaro dance was accompanied by a beat of rapai music, one of the traditional Achenese musical instruments, and controlled by sheikh or vocalist who delivered poems in the form of messages in the Achenese language. They are not in the line, usually on the right or left side of the dancers. Rato Jaru dance movement is more dominant in hand movements and a combination of body movements. The movement in the Rato Jaru dance based on the elements of togetherness, courtesy, heroism, cohesiveness, and lifting the dance movements in Aceh, such as Ratep Musekat, Likok Pulo, Rapai Galeng, and others. Besides perform in art and cultural festival, the dance also often perform during traditional and religious events, such as Maulid or birthday of Prophet Muhammad. That was Indonesian Wonderful Today featuring Rato Jaru Dance from Aceh. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. This edition highlights a topic: 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival. Stay tuned. Listeners, on August the 12th, 2018, the biggest shopping event known as the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival was officially opened at One Belpart Mall in Jakarta. Organized with the theme Spirit of Jakarta, the event has been conducted from 12th of August to 5th of September 2018. According to the chief committee of the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival, Alan Hidayat, the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival is held in August 2018 in order to support the government of Jakarta in a bid to enliven and make the international event of the 2018 Asian Games be successful. Furthermore, the purpose of organizing the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival is due to the expectation of presenting Jakarta as a competent host that gives the best service and provides various quality products with affordable prices. The event is also the right momentum to introduce Jakarta as the paradise and shopping destination to the Asian countries. Listeners, this year 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival is followed by 82 malls in Jakarta with more than 2,000 stores giving discount up to 70%. Various interesting events are also carried out during the Jakarta Great Sale Festival. Take for example, the Midnight Sale will be conducted every Sunday in turn at 16 shopping centers in Jakarta. There will be also be soft per card price lottery at 40 malls whose shopping voucher price is worth 150 million rupiah. The committee of the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival also establishes cooperation with the small and medium enterprises, under the assistance of the Council for National Handicraft Indonesia of Jakarta, or the Kranasda, and the OKOC program, which will sell various traditional handicrafts of Jakarta and Indonesia at 15 shopping centers. Besides shopping centers, there are 8 hotels which will participate in giving special package and offer during the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival period. The 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival will also carry out mass blood donation at 41 shopping centers during this Great Sale Festival. Listeners, the 2018 Jakarta Great Festival is held to commemorate the anniversary of Jakarta. The grand event started being introduced to the society in the 1980s, exactly in 1982. The government of Jakarta Province initiated a shopping event called the Pertokoan or Shops Festival at that time. The festival was then changed into the discount party, and in the 1990s, the festival's name was again changed into the Jakarta Great Sale Festival, like the current one. The 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival is organized in August in order to run together with the momentum of the 2018 Asian Games. This year, the sale of retail in the Jakarta Great Sale Festival is targeted to reach around 3 trillion to 4 trillion. That was miscellany about the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RA World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a segment which presents you with Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition of Music Corner, we will present you nostalgic pop songs from Rinjamain. Listener, to initiate our segment today, we will present you a song entitled Senja di Batas Kota from Rinjamain. Enjoy the song. Thank you. Jamain, or known by her full name Rin Indrianti Jamain, is a renowned Indonesian female jazz singer. She never took any vocal course, yet she only practiced singing by herself and learned from her sister Ida Jamain, a singer being popular as the member of the Jamain sisters. Rin Jamain began her career as a jazz singer when she participated at an event on TVRI on 1970s. After that, in 1976, she finished the recording of her first album in collaboration with Jack Lesmana, who was a jazz musician in Indonesia, entitled Api Asmara, or The Passion of Love. One of the most notable songs from this album is called Api Asmara. Listener, this is Api Asmara by Rin Jamain. Listener, that was Api Asmara. The song composed by Yahya is a hit in public. The song Api Asmara tells about a woman who has just built a romantic affair with someone. She wants her lover to wipe away all the painful reminiscences that she had before in her previous relationship with him. Listener, next we will listen to a song entitled Beri Daku Harapan or Give Me a Hope. Enjoy listening.
Beri
The success of Rin's first album, Api Asmara, cannot be separated from the well-packaged jazz music that makes the song enjoyable to ordinary people. The remarkable thing from this album is that despite the songs are easy listening, the music of this album does not lose its distinctive characteristics and jazz nuance. Listener, the accomplishment of the album Api Asmara did not make Rin Jermaine satisfied. In 1978, she recorded her second album entitled Air Mata or Tears. Then she recorded her third album in 1970. On her third album, Rin put the element of bossa nova with other musicians such as Jopi Item Combo and Abadi Susman Big Band. Listener, that was Music Corner for today's edition. To end our segment, we would like to present another song by Rin Jermaine entitled Tiada Seindah Hari Ini, or No Days Can Be As Beautiful As Today. We hope you enjoy the song and see you on the next edition.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Terima kasih.
you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.